Welcome to Real Life Mentoring, where we explore real life issues to help you make an authentic difference in the world.
Hi, it's Chris and Christina, and today we have a very special guest. Chris, why don't you introduce our guest today?
Well, Shannon Irwin, we met you in 1999, and this is 2024. So
we were all 12 when we met.
I'm quite a bit older than Shannon. No, but you guys had one child. Mm-hmm. Now you have three, but they're all grown as of a couple months ago, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. We've done a lot of life together.
So yeah. Shannon is a public school teacher. What kind of system is it in, Shannon?
Title I
school.
Yes.
Would you explain what that means for a minute?
Yeah, I am a fourth grade teacher in elementary. Title I school just means that a lot of your students have needs that are like low socioeconomic. So like a percentage of our students, relatively high percentage of our students have free and reduced lunch, their home lives. A lot of them like live with grandparents or don't have a parent. Mm-hmm. And just so their homes are different. So it just makes school, in my opinion, kind of more important.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we've known each other many years. And so you had a desire to be a school teacher many years ago. You were young, you got married young, had your first child young. You were wanting to go back to school, back to college, found out you were expecting your second. But God gave you this stirring, this belief, I'm going to be a school teacher at some point, right? And how many years have you been teaching now?
I just finished my 11th year.
Okay.
So, yeah. When I was a little kid, I remember if I had homework, it was glorious, which is so weird. I'm such a weirdo.
You loved homework?
I just loved
that
school.
That sounds like Christina.
Yeah.
I was the opposite of that.
Yeah, I just loved school. And so school was a place where I excelled. It was a place where I felt really safe and comfortable. And so that was like a great place for me. And so I think that that's where the desire to be a teacher came from, is because I knew it was a good place for me. And so now I get to hopefully make it a good place for kids.
Well, I'm going to cut straight to the chase.
Okay.
We're going to do two parts, part one, part two. Part one, Shannon, we know, but we think it's valuable for listeners to hear your story, what mentoring has meant to you in the past. Then part two, obviously, is we've never done a mentoring story where we talk about somebody who's mentoring on the field and in terms of professional mentoring. So you are a mentor teacher to first-time teachers, mentoring them, giving them tools, helping them. So that'll be part two. So part one is, Shannon, when you were growing up, you loved school, but did you have a mentor? Did you have somebody older than you when you, let's say, pre-high or high school down? Did you give us your story? Share the highlights of whatever part of your story you want to growing up.
Yeah. Well, I'm one of four kiddos, and we were pretty low income family. My dad worked really, really hard, always did. My mom stayed home and took care of us, but we were four kids in 5 years. And so like time and the capacity was challenging.
Sure.
And so mentoring for me, I don't really recall specifically. I did get involved in lots of things where I feel like I had some mentors, but not on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. I loved choir. I was a part of FBLA, which was like the Future Business Leaders of America, when I was in high school. I worked a part-time job. And so I had people around me, but I never had anyone really go, hey, I see you and I want to invest in you.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was pretty much my young childhood, I would say.
Yeah. So you and your husband, we alluded to that, you get married young, you have your first baby very young. What were the first 5 years of motherhood, new wife? Did you have anybody pouring into your life then?
No, mm-hmm. Not really. We ended up expecting really young and got married. I had an aunt who really came alongside us after we found out we were expecting and kind of helped us plan our wedding and was really sweet. But other than that, it was us and my wonderful mother-in-law.
Mm.
She like took me in and like let us live with her for a few years and just kind of mentored in her own way,
mm-hmm.
just mothered me really. And then mostly other than that, we were really lonely. We had no idea what we were doing.
In what area?
All areas. we had a kid and we were connected and we knew we wanted to be together, but we didn't even understand what that meant at the time. It was just really challenging because our personalities are so different. I know if you're married, that's the thing.
That's God's sense of humor.
Yes. Yeah. But I think that was really difficult, as not really having community. We didn't really have people that we hung out with, or we spent time with family. And that was great because my sister and her husband had kids that were the same age as my oldest daughter. And so that was really nice. And so that was really our people at that time.
So now looking back at your life, that oldest baby girl is now a grown professional adult, your middle child and baby child. You're now an empty nester for all purposes. Mm-hmm. What made the change in your lives from those early years to now looking back? Who were some of the people who spoke into your lives?
There's been so many, and that's such a wonderful testimony to be able to say there's been so many now. Mm. Obviously, you two, first of all, just literally our friendship, God connecting us in such a wonderful, simple way that we were just friends. And then you talked to us about spiritual things outside of our house, outside of the church. And that was like so foreign to us. Mm. We had this sweet, sweet woman, Rose, who was such a great guide to me. She helped me manage my words, which sounds like a silly thing to say, but I was kind of sharp-tongued sometimes about things, and I would be passionate. And she would always, in the most gentle, sweet way, be like, oh, no, this is, I would say something and she would correct me, but it was never in a condemning or ugly way. It was just, hey, girl, let's not say it like that. And so I just really appreciated her gentle guidance. Marty. Mm. She just let me come to her house and hang and be myself. And would listen and would grandma me and mom me and all of those things. Those ladies especially were the ones that were intentional about investing time in me. Mm-hmm. And I can't equate how much that meant and how important that was to me.
One of the things we talk about is the ripple effect. And so you throw the stone into the pond and it ripples and you don't quite know how far it goes. So with Rose, with Christina, with Marty, give us an example of how that's played itself out in your life. These women saw value in you. They spoke into your life. They were intentional, very deliberate, cared about you. So how did that play out in your life?
First of all, as a mom, especially with my younger children, my first one, bless her heart, I love my Shelby, but she had the benefit and the detriment of being my firstborn, and I did not know what I was doing.
Let's just pause and bless all of our firstborns.
Absolutely.
Right now.
Absolutely. And we have a great relationship, but it was also challenging for her and for me. As I didn't know what I was doing as a mom, and for me being able to recognize some of those mistakes that I made and make those right with her has been really a gift. And really, just my other two children, it is the relationship I have with them. It sounds so cheesy, and I don't mean for it to sound cheesy, but it is so healthy. Mm. And I intentionally spend time with them, and I'm talking to them and know what's going on with them. And it's just one of the greatest joys of my life is to be able to do that with my kids. And then, of course, I know we're going to talk about this in a later podcast, but like just being a teacher now, I've become an aunt/mom to so many young teachers. Yeah, I feel like that's really, I mean, one of the teachers I taught with, she actually gave me a Mother's Day gift one year.
Oh.
Wow.
And so we had literally went through a lot of different difficult things together, and she just wanted to honor me, and what a privilege,
wow,
you know, to be able to do that.
Well, I want to pause right now as we, if you've listened to our podcast before, you've heard me specifically talk about Marty. She was very instrumental in my life. We all were under her influence, and how she, when we all met her, she was broken. She was 46. Her marriage had failed. Her world was turned upside down.
She didn't have a career at the time.
Right.
Finances were difficult.
And yet what she did have was relationship with God. Mm-hmm. And when we all found her, we lived in community because we all went to church together, but it wasn't just about church. Like you said, Shannon, she opened her home, and mm-hmm. we as women could go over there and hang out one-on-one with her, or she'd have nights where we'd learn how to make pies,
yeah.
or she would do a Bible study. It wasn't singular focused. It was multi-focused. And I remember her saying, you know, I lost everything. I wish the things that I knew now I could have said to the younger me, but we got the benefit of
exactly.
that. And so these teachers that you're pouring into get the benefit of what Marty gave to you. Mm-hmm. You're now giving to them. They'll give to others. Yeah, I love that. Anything else, Chris?
No, I thought about this. So, Shannon, if you could go back, and we can't do this, mm-hmm. you would do things differently in some ways, right? That's how life works,
right?
Right. We're better mentors today because of the things we've gone through.
Right.
And so I'm thankful I can look back. I'm a better mentor than I was 10 years ago, but it can still be really good, right? And we continue to learn and grow, so.
Well, I want to go back to what you said about Rose gently pointing out. How did she do that? Like, how did that go down? If you did something sharp-tongued, I love
right.
that phrase. How did she say, whoa, girl? Yeah, I'm just interested in how she gently corrected you.
But I like how you described it. She helped manage my words.
Right.
I've never heard that before.
Yeah. Well, I just remember one particular instance. It was at Marty's house, ironically.
Uh-huh.
Someone had said something to me, and they were like, I don't understand why your child just won't sit down and be quiet during church. And I was like, you know,
yeah.
Jesus smite her now. You know, I wanted to, you know, lash out in anger and be like, excuse me? And I could tell the anger rising in me,
yeah.
which
yeah.
I'm sorry. I think that was valid. yeah. And Rose literally stuck her hand on my arm and looked at this person and said, oh no, we don't want children to be quiet in church. They're just as much a part of it as we are. And we want them to still be children.
Mm.
And I was like, I got in my car that day and I was like, oh man,
wow.
Rose saved me. She saved me from making a much bigger deal of it. And she answered it so well. It was
yeah.
like, yeah, like no, children aren't robots and they should not sit in church quietly, and they're a part of that.
Mm.
God loves kiddos just as much as he loves these grown-ups. We're all his kids.
Yeah.
And so I think that that's just an example of when she corrected me.
Mm-hmm. I love that she modeled. She didn't pull you aside and
yeah.
say, no. Yeah, she just jumped in and modeled that for you.
Yeah. I remember another time that's really funny. I said something about my car. And I was like, well, it's my car. And she was like, no, it's... She was basically saying everything that I had was John and mine.
And John's your husband.
And I was saying, yeah. And I was like, well, it's mine. And she was like, no. That's not. But again, not unkind
yeah.
or rude, just direct.
Yeah.
So,
I love that.
Have you ever told her these things, how much you appreciate and how deliberate you thought she was?
Yeah. No, I haven't actually. That's.
I'd encourage you to do that because it encourages people who speak into our lives to go, okay, I do make a difference.
Yeah.
I have made a difference. And we know Rose as well. She's one of the kindest people on the planet I've ever met.
Well, what I like is the contrast between Rose and Marty. And so if you're listening and go, well, I'm not like a certain way, you can mentor however God has designed you. Because Rose, she led by this kind, gentle touch, let me jump in and say this, or let me gently correct you. And Marty was completely different.
Mm-hmm.
Marty was like, hey, climb up on my couch and let's have tea or let's go thrifting or let's do a Bible study. She was just very outgoing, very involved, mm-hmm. very passionate. Two different women, but such an impact. So absolutely. I just think it speaks to however God has created you, you can be a mentor.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What are the thoughts?
Yeah. We're going to, in part two, talk specifically about your mentoring on the job. That's your title. You are gifted at doing that as you mentor young teachers. But tell some experiences just in your personal life where you have taken young women and mentored them under your wing, things that were deposited in you, you gave away.
Yeah, I remember like just feeling so ill-equipped to do that. And then realizing, I think that that was like a light bulb moment for me, is that mentoring sounds like it's such a formal thing.
Yeah.
Like, well, I'm a mentor. So, yeah. You know, like there's a badge that says mentor Shannon Irwin. And that's not it at all. I feel like I mentored so naturally because I had been mentored. Mm. And so there's just so many women who just, it sounds silly, but like they just want to hang out mm-hmm. and they don't really need anything from me. They just need someone to listen mm-hmm. and to, who has walked ahead of them mm-hmm. and talk to them and just be there. And so I have a sweet girl who I'm in a small group with at church, and she called me the other day about a situation that happened last week, and she was like, I've been back and forth, whether I call or whether I not call. And then she was like, she talked through the situation, and I told her my thoughts, and I was like, girl, I don't have any advice for you. Mm-hmm. Like, all we can do is pray. And so I prayed over her over the phone before we hung up together, and she was like, I'm so glad you called. She got nothing from me.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Like, I literally...
From your perspective.
Right. Yeah. Right. But I know how many times I've called you, Christina, mm-hmm. and I felt the same way. Mm-hmm. I hung up and I was like, oh, I feel so much better. And so, like, that's what we have to give away mm-hmm. is just that comfort being seen and known by another person and knowing that you can come to them and share. And that they're not going to sit there and tell you all the things you're doing wrong. And maybe they'd need to sometimes. But they're also going to just listen. And then hopefully they'll, you know, point you back to God. Because he's the one who can do everything anyways.
Well, what I like about what you're sharing is these women, Rose, Marty, they were available and intentional. And so sometimes I think it's hard for people to go, wait, I can't mentor, and like you said, because it seems so formal, but if you're involved in a small group, the average small group person, and I'm speaking from my experience, so if this is not yours, send me an email and we'll talk, but you go, it's wonderful, you show up, and then you don't talk to each other until the next small group. And what you're saying is make yourself available to this young woman who knew she could call you and you were intentional with her. And it's just taking that extra step. You're in community with people already. Take another step to be intentional or say, hey, if you ever need to talk, I'm here. I think there's younger people waiting for someone a little bit further down the journey just to make themselves available.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I want to clarify to our listeners that when we talk about mentoring, we're holistic, that we are spiritual, physical, mental, emotional, relational, and professional or educational. Shannon, which of those areas has mentoring impacted you? Maybe the better question is, which of the areas has it not impacted you?
I'll get back to you. Like, for real, there's been different times in my journey that all of those things have been impacted. Like right now I'm seeking some professional counseling for some things. And that is an area that I always kind of put on the back burner, mm-hmm. you know, cause I'm the mom. And so mom has to take care of everyone else and not herself. Mm-hmm. And that's a societal thing. That's not how God intends us to be. He wants us to be complete whole people. Mm-hmm. And so stepping into that for myself has been really challenging, but also really beneficial. And I'm encouraging other women I know to do it now too. I'm like, just take care of yourself.
Yeah.
Like your mom, you know, that saying about can't pour from an empty cup. I feel like my cup had 14 holes in it. Mm-hmm. And not in a detrimental way to my family. I'm not in any way criticizing. I do that to my, it's intent, like it's something I do myself, partly because of personality. I'm a doer and I'm a perfectionist. And so I really tend to overdo. And so then I'm just out of gas. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like that intentionality of being specific with people that you want to do that with. You can't do this with everybody. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something I had to learn, especially as like in the teacher role. You cannot mentor and have a close relationship with everybody at that level, but you can with some people. And God just puts those people right in front of you. And it's, and I feel like the best way to know is when it's not hard, when you don't have to muster it up or figure out, these are the things I'm going to do with this person. That's great. That's when it, that's when you know, okay, this is the right thing.
Mm. I want people to understand. So Shannon, you are a professional teacher. Mm-hmm. You're mentoring other teachers. You're mentoring other women, but you're also seeing a professional counselor currently that you just said.
Yeah.
Some people would make the assumption, well, if I need a professional counselor,
I can't mentor.
Yeah.
Speak to that for a moment.
Yeah.
I feel like that makes me more equipped. Because I know that there's the end of me.
Yeah.
And that I can use some support as well.
Yeah.
And so why not be real about it? I have a dear friend who I'm going to, teacher friend, who I'm going to have lunch with later today. And last summer we were supposed to get together and I was in a really not great place. Mm-hmm. And so I canceled lunch with her and then never rescheduled it. And then I saw her recently and I was like, hey, we should get together again. I was like, I'm so sorry I canceled last time. I was just not in a good place. And she said, you could have told me that.
Aww.
And last week we were supposed to get together and I was not having a good day. And I was like, you know what? I don't think I'm really up for that. And I said, can we just reschedule? I'm just not in a very good place today. And she was like, absolutely.
Wow.
And so I feel like just being brave enough to be honest about where you are invites people to be able to do that with you.
Yeah.
Instead of it being like, well, I've got it all together. I have whatever, but I don't. And I know that about myself and I'm still a work in progress, you know?
Well, and you're modeling for other women in your life. You don't have to be perfect, but let's be authentic about where we're at. And we're always growing. We're always growing.
Yeah. Shannon, I've said this before. If someone tells me they have it all together and they want to mentor me,
run.
I need to run the other direction. Something's off.
How fast can I get in my car?
Yeah,
for real.
Wow. Well, let's wrap this up because we want to do a part two. And Shannon, thank you for sharing. And I love that. We always find new things about one another when we talk. And so I hope that you've heard from Shannon's story that mentors are not professional, aloof, come sit on the couch and let me solve all your problems kind of people. We're real people with real life happening all around us. Sometimes we need a break and we're authentic and we're available and we show up. So if today is helpful for you, share this with a friend, like and subscribe. And if you find this content really helpful and you'd like to help, go to our website at fahrenheitmentoring.org. There is a podcast tab. Just click on that. And that's one way that you can support the continuation of such great content. So Chris, Shannon, thanks for listening today.
Thanks for having me.